Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bear Den Pod, part of the 1012 Podcast Network and partners with Sports Social Podcast Network. I'm Matt Workman, joined as always by Joe Goodman. You can follow the podcast on X, formerly known as Twitter, at the Bear Den Pod, or you can reach us at thebeardenpod.com. Joe, how are you doing today?
Hanging in there. It's a Thursday night, been a hella long week, and just really, really ready for the weekend. It's gonna be like another busy day tomorrow, so yeah. Just gotta get through tomorrow, and then you know what I'm doing tomorrow night, Matt? This is probably into podcast talk, but I'll start here. I'm going to see Phantom Menace tomorrow night.
Oh yes, we talked about this earlier in the week.
Yeah, my wife and I are gonna go, even though it's May the 3rd. It's not May the 4th. I could get a babysitter on May the 3rd, so I will celebrate May the 4th weekend with a Star Wars film, but I'll just do it on May the 3rd.
So some places are doing like the whole like Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
Like a marathon of like all the films or all the main films.
Everybody around that's like me 24 pretty hours much is showing movies. Phantom Menace.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think they're doing it here because I was trying to find it.
You know me, noted prequel hater, but also prequel enjoyer for like very specific things. And
well,
I cannot wait to see Duel of the Fates in theaters again.
So I didn't
see it. I was like, what, 10?
Yeah, but even then, like, I didn't see it in theaters.
You didn't see Phantom Menace in theaters?
No.
Oh, dude, I saw it day one.
I
wanted to go at midnight, but I was too young and my parents wouldn't let me.
I saw it on a bootleg DVD I got from the flea market.
I literally dragged my dad to the movie theater like the week before or something so I could buy my ticket ahead of time because I wanted to go on the first night that it was out. I collected all you remember like the deal they had with Pepsi, you know, where they did the cans?
Oh yeah.
There was like you could get Anakin, they had like a Sebulba can, all that good stuff. This is a sports podcast, by the way. But I collected almost like every single one of those damn cans and I wouldn't open them for like years in my bedroom. I was cool. I was a cool kid. Dude. I literally had like unopened like Mountain Dew or whatever it
was. That's some like nerd shit right there.
Yeah. I had those cans, man. I was stoked for Phantom Menace. Dude, I love Star Wars.
Hey, who doesn't? I mean, I'm sure there are people that do, but we do. We love Star Wars here. So,
but yeah, that's how I'm doing. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Not a lot going on as far as like, I don't have big plans. Looking forward to the weekend just to relax because it has been like you. It's been a busy week, hectic week, end of the month, beginning of the month, stuff like that. So,
dude, it's already May.
Yeah. So yeah, not too long. We got like football will be here. Like it's like 3 months.
Yeah, dude, like in the NFL, rookie mini camps in like a week.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL does it right with their schedule because they pretty much every month there's some kind of event. Like even like they package like the schedule release as like a television event, which
Yeah.
you're just releasing a schedule. Like, I mean, that's it. And then people talk about it. It's just like the NFL, like they have the market cornered on like where you're never going to not be tuned into the NFL.
They definitely understood
Every
the
month we have like we'll market and we'll pump up like free agency starting, then the draft, and then it's like, you know, like you said, rookie mini camps, OTAs, you know, they're just like spinning through like their calendar, and it's like a full year. It's like, you know, you can't like stop following the NFL. You can't like check out.
It is a bit ridiculous at this point, the amount of money that can be made in just the sporting world. And did you see, speaking of the sporting world in general, did you see the report on the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, what he turned down?
No.
So he owns the Miami Dolphins. He also owns the stadium there, the Hard Rock
Yeah.
Stadium. All right. And that's not uncommon for a football owner to also have the rights to a stadium or own the building or whatever. Like those two things combined, you think I would assume $4 or $5 billion right there worth, you know, maybe something like that. He
Yeah.
also owns like the F1 race because they do it at Hard Rock Stadium in the parking lot. They set up like the F1 track
The
there.
like the man is that the Miami Grand Prix,
Yeah, the Miami Grand Prix, which is
which is
happening this
this
weekend,
weekend,
right?
right? Yeah.
Yes. So he owns the stadium, the Dolphins, and the Miami Grand Prix. All right. He was offered $10 billion for the lot and turned it down. 10 billion.
You know how much money you have to be making to turn down 10 billion?
Yeah. How much money you have to say, nah, I'm good. I
Or
don't
even
need
like
$10
that, like
billion.
you could be like, it's just going to be worth more later. I couldn't turn down 10 billion. Now, again, I'm not a billionaire already. So I guess if you already have like 5 billion, it's easy to be like, well, I'll just wait. Maybe it'll be worth like 12 billion in a little bit, in a little bit.
I think I vaguely remember a T. Boone Pickens tweet from way back when, early days of Twitter, innocent days of Twitter. And I think it was, I want to say it was Lil Wayne or like another rapper tweeted like the first million's always the hardest.
Yeah.
And T and then T. Boone quoted it and was like, try the first billion.
Yeah. That's like that joke. Since we're talking about NFL, you know, like Travis Kelce had like a extension or 2 year contract or something, and it's like worth like 34 million. And I saw Jimmy Kimmel was like, he's like, imagine having a $34 million contract and you're still like the broke boyfriend. Because your
I
girlfriend's worth $1 billion.
love how you have it has it's very consistent now for months that you have found a way to bring Taylor Swift into the podcast again. Your
How
daughters is you want your daughters to listen is the only way you can get them there.
it's like also she is like culture at this point.
Oh yeah, she's a big
She's
deal. She's
so
a big
like
deal.
this obscene, like 2.6 million copies the first week her new record was out. Shattered records. I mean, that's so yeah, it's been crazy to just watch that this past year. So, but we do have football news to talk about. So I wanted to touch on a couple of things as we get into it. Like, did you see the report? About the revenue sharing in college football.
Tell me about it, Matt.
So this is from several reporters. Pete Thamel is who I got this from ESPN. Basically, the top college leaders are in deep discussions to reach a multi-billion-dollar settlement to the lawsuit. There's a lawsuit. I guess it's an antitrust lawsuit against the NCAA that would lay a framework for revenue sharing with athletes. The proposal would possibly settle the House v. NCAA lawsuit, which alleges college's governing body and power conferences have placed restrictions on how athletes make money through name, image, and likeness. And that is scheduled for it's scheduled for trial in January of 2025. No details were provided on the revenue where revenue would come from or how it would be distributed, but the price tag is expected to be steep. The revenue sharing model could mean, on the high end, between $15 and $20 million per school. Yahoo Sports reported in early April, schools would be able to opt in to share that much with their student athletes at their discretion.
It's almost like exactly what we talked about a
Yeah.
few weeks back. Yeah. Which is what I've thought since day one is that this is the easiest way to resolve this is you just do exactly what all the pro leagues do. And as they say, the league brings in this amount of money, we give the players X percentage. And
What's
then
moving
every few years,
towards?
they collectively bargain.
So yeah, like I was gonna say, if you're gonna have revenue sharing, there's 100% gonna have like
A
a collect a
union.
CBA. Yeah.
There will be a players union, and there will be the NCAA or the conferences, essentially, or the schools will
Well,
probably enter into some kind of group.
yeah, I think it would be because the schools can opt in or out. It's gonna price out a lot of schools if the price tag is 20 million.
Well, I mean, that's an up to, right?
Yeah.
If you're
But
the
I mean,
Mountain
this is
West,
just, these are just reports.
you're not
Yeah.
getting paid, you're not getting paid the same amount, so you wouldn't revenue share the same that a Big Ten school would.
Yeah. I mean, but I think some schools are positioned better than others just financially.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
100%.
we'll talk about Arizona for today. They're in a horrible financial state as a university. They may be in a bad spot if this were to come to fruition. Just with the price tag to keep the athletes, or to, if they were to not opt into it, you're going to put yourself in a bad spot if school B is doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think most schools will adopt it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And they can't, like I said, the corner reports, they can go up to that number, but it's at their just the school's discretion. Like, you
Correct.
can set your number lower.
The
There's just a
Alabamas,
cap.
the Ohio States,
Yeah.
the Oregons, they will
It's like a
go and
salary cap. Like, you can go up to $20 million.
they will put in the most amount that they can to pay their players,
Yeah.
100%. And then you'll have other schools that, okay, hey, we're gonna put $1 million down, and you guys get to share $1 million, and that'll
Yeah.
be the way it is.
Yeah. But yeah, like we talked about, this was the easiest, most logical way to resolve it. Not only the lawsuit, but just the whole NIL free for all that's been going on for since 20, was it 21?
Yeah,
So.
I mean, it's always what's made sense. Like, these are the guys that are out there doing the things on TV. They should get a share of the money that's made on TV.
Yeah.
The debate about, NIL, I felt like we lost the plot. Like, NIL was never going to solve the foundational issue that universities, conferences in general, bring in tens of millions of dollars a year putting their athletics on TV. And we just now recently got to a point where it's like, oh, okay, well, if you want to do, you want to go do an advertisement for a car dealership locally, then you can do that. But they still weren't getting a piece of that pie. They deserve a piece of that pie.
Yeah. And you mentioned like the unionization. Did you hear the UAB story about that?
Yep, with Trent Dilfer.
Trenton Dilfer, which I was shocked, he gathered his team for a voluntary meeting to encourage them to prepare for the future when college athletes might be able to negotiate for a larger share of sports revenue.
I'm pretty sure Dilfer was the head of the, or like was like the player rep for the NFLPA.
Yeah.
I
This
like he
quote.
very much strikes me as like he would have been like a strong, like he would have always been like the rep on his team. 'Cause every team has a union rep.
Yeah, this quote he has. He said, "They're going to have a seat at the table. I want to make sure I help pour gasoline on something that's going to happen no matter what. I might as well use my influence to help happen faster on behalf of our players." But he's
Yeah, it
not the
doesn't
only one.
surprise me in
There's
the least from Dilfer.
a bunch of other coaches who have been like, I think even like Jim Harbaugh said, like he's been talking about like revenue share for a while. But also, these are also former NFL players and coaches who have dealt with that on the professional level. So they understand the benefits of having the players having a stake in success of the team.
And having full representation around the model of the making of the money. We left college sports just being a fun thing a long time ago. It is a business.
Long time ago.
First and foremost.
And like whenever the conferences started getting like TV deals and all that and making billions of dollars, and the players have yet, maybe just recently, seen a little bit of that. And we're talking about, like NIL's been around for 3 years.
Well, no, Matt, they're not seeing any of that money.
Well, no, they're seeing other money. So, like, the good thing about
basically
this,
all we said was, like, okay, you guys can go somewhere else and make money.
Yeah, but for my whole life,
you couldn't even do that.
That was, you know, there's, remember, like, that wide receiver for, I forgot his name, Jeremy Bloom, I think. He was wide receiver for Colorado. He was also a professional skier.
Snowboarder.
And he couldn't get endorsements for that. He was like an Olympian because of the NCAA regulations, because he's a football player.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't on scholarship, if he paid his own, used it to pay his own college.
You would hear like those random stories every couple of years about like coach at random FCS or D2 school, like allows kid to use his car because
like
kid doesn't
Harden
have a
Baylor
car.
Coach. Got like they got all kinds of trouble because he let him use his car to go to school and home. And like, they said that was impermissible benefit.
I remember one year, like, I'm sure somebody will remember this, but I think there was a player. I think he had somebody in his family die, and his coach took him out for a pizza, and they got fined.
Yeah,
like. There's been all kinds of stuff, dude.
You couldn't have a YouTube channel that was monetized. There was like a streaming channel where you played video games.
And then there was the 80s where it was the exact opposite.
Well, yeah, but everything was like, I mean, they're still getting paid under the table. Everyone gets paid under the table.
But, oh, the guys have been getting paid for a while, but
yeah. But what this does, it, you know, brings it out from under the table. They get revenue share. And it doesn't stop you from having your traditional NIL deals. You can still be a sponsor.
They're getting a piece of the real pie. Yeah. That's what this is.
And honestly, it's a very small piece if you're talking about $20 million.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's,
well, I guess
like
that's
what?
Per school. That's pretty. That's decent.
You're getting $60 million a year from your TV deal.
That's a good chunk. Yeah. I was thinking about, like, overall, like, the SEC's TV deal with ESPN's, like, a crazy, like, what, $1 billion, $3 billion or something like that. It's you know,
the interesting thing is going to be, are the individual sports going to bargain amongst each other? Do the athletes go in together? Do they share things equally?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most of these TV contracts, people think of them in the terms of football. But
it's football, basketball.
Well, it's everything.
Women's,
you know,
basketball.
You think of the Big 12, our TV deal includes, you know, having volleyball on ESPN Plus.
Wouldn't they be considered those are considered like tier three?
Correct.
It's part of the tier three.
But that's still part of your TV deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that's like you're absolutely right. Would those school or sports just be subject to like the stipulations under like that portion of the contract that covers like the ESPN.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Is like, does the sporting body at Baylor, for example, do they get together and then they have to bargain amongst themselves to say, you know, all right, football, basketball, you know, football and men's and women's basketball, they get, you know, 40% of the pie split amongst them, and then 60% goes to everybody else or something like that. Like I will be curious to know
how they allocate, because like say if it's $20 million is the number, and you just say Baylor opts in for $20 million. How are you going to allocate that $20 million based on, would you base that on the contracts for your specific sport?
Yeah.
Which
is
more along, that's the more the American way, like equally would be more, way more like egalitarian.
I don't think it'll be equally.
No, I don't either. And quite honestly, it probably shouldn't be. Because
no, I don't think it should be.
Football brings in a lot of money.
The core driver.
Basketball brings in a lot of money. Football brings in more. Women's basketball brings in
the third most.
And those other sports don't bring in any money, honestly. I mean, they do for their like their that tier three deal for like baseball, softball, all those other, you know, spring sports, things like that. The other problem that may come up is if you're paying this $20 million to players, some schools may have to cut sports that aren't revenue generating.
That may be a thing that happens. You might see programs like track and field, cross country, maybe even some schools with like baseball and softball. I it will not surprise me if this is a death knell for some of the other sports and they become more.
Well, at least in this, I mean, there will be places for those athletes, maybe not in the Power Four conference schools.
Well, I wonder if they just leave the NCAA, like for example, right now, acrobatics and tumbling, 9 straight national championships at Baylor. Those are not NCAA championships.
Those aren't NCAA. Now they're pushing for it.
NCAA championships because it's not an NCAA sport.
Well, I think like your market, they're pushing for it to become. But
correct. But I think if this model happens, what I think will happen is basically like there will be a separate association for volleyball.
Yeah. You know,
if a bunch of schools drop volleyball,
it won't even be. I mean, honestly, if NCAA is not long.
Or here's the other
to
part.
Generate to govern just football and basketball.
They may just break football off of the NCAA. Yeah. That may be what happens.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure. I think that's what's going to happen. Like, they pretty much already like self govern.
Yeah.
There's not much anymore that NCAA can do to schools.
I have no idea what this is going to look like, but I will be interested to watch as it unfolds.
Yes.
What's next, Matt?
But drilling down to be more Baylor specific, there was other news. The spring transfer portal just closed as far as like the time frame for which players could enter their name into the spring window. So you'll probably see news trickle out. From everything I've heard, I don't know if there's going to be much more on the Baylor side. In the spring window, the ones we haven't talked about yet, because I think we talked about some of the earlier ones, like Tony Anyanwu, who, and the ones who like put in their names early in the when the window opened. This week we had three more who went into the transfer portal. Offensive lineman Bryce Simpson, quarterback RJ Martinez, and linebacker Tyrone Brown. These are all players who are probably pretty deep on the, you know, they're not cracking the two deep, you know. RJ Martinez is like fighting to be like the third string quarterback. So
fan favorite RJ Martinez though.
Yes, of course.
But more power to him. Go play, my dude.
Go play. Cause he came from FCS to Baylor. I mean, he could probably drop down to FBS and be very successful in an offense that suits his skill set.
Yeah. I think, I am all for, you know, if you're a junior, especially.
Well, all these players are the ones who, like, yeah, you're not cracking the 2D, go play.
Yeah, go somewhere and play. Go have fun.
Go get something on film because you can still make it to the NFL.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not even that, man. Like, football. Did you play football in high school?
Yeah.
Football practice sucks. The only thing that makes football practice fun is that you get to play a football game at the end of the week. So, if, like, I can't imagine spending years of my life in Waco, right? In the Waco heat, practicing by, it's probably muggy as hell right next to the Brazos there when they're practicing outside. It ain't fun.
Now they got alligators in the Brazos, so shit.
You're waking up at 5 a.m. to go lift weights, go to meetings.
Go to school.
And you're basically, you're probably a tackling dummy because you're probably running scout team stuff. And then you don't even get to play a real football game at the end of the week. Go play somewhere. If you're going to put in all that time and all that effort, go find a place that'll let you get on the field. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I agree. But that was the subtraction part of it. We did have some addition. Texas Southern defensive lineman Alanis Noel III commits. He's 6'2", 230, 6'2", 320. I'm sorry. Nose tackle, defensive lineman. He had 7.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks in 2023. Also added Western Kentucky edge, Jaquez Evans. He is a 6'2", 250-pound outside linebacker edge. I guess he'll play like a jack in Baylor's defense. He was hurt most of 2023, only played in 6 games. But in 2022, he had 106 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks. He was like the preseason like defensive player of the year for the Conference USA. I think it's Conference USA. And then coming back home, Arkansas cornerback Lorando Snacks Johnson returns to Baylor.
Snacks!
And for his last year of eligibility.
I loved his tweet.
Yeah. Like, he's like, what did he say? Like, I was tripping. But then he said, P.S. I love Coach Aranda.
Yeah. P.S. I love you, Coach Aranda.
Yeah. So, yeah. All those were things.
That tells me he called. That tells me that he called Coach Aranda. But
he went in the portal. All I heard was he went in the portal and Baylor were in contact. They were in contact with him. So you're probably right. He could have just reached out and been like,
called Aranda and was like, can I please come back? And Aranda was like, let me think about it.
Yeah. And I mean, really, it helps out because from what I've heard, he'll start out in the cornerback room. Like a lot of people were projecting him to maybe play star. He wasn't great at star in 22. And I'd much rather him at cornerback. He started 11 games at Arkansas at cornerback.
Yeah, from everything I've seen, they're gonna pair him with Caden Jenkins. So
yeah, absolutely. And so that does free up some like flexibility for the defensive staff to, because star is a question mark. I mean, we signed Kendrick Simpkins from Western Kentucky also in the early transfer portal. From what I've heard, people who have watched practice, he's great against the run. He kind of struggles in coverage. You know, they're trying to find the guy who can be close to what we had with Jalen Petrie, who was like great against the run, great in coverage. You know, if you're trying to find that player or the closest facsimile to that player. And so this does give you a little bit of wiggle room to kind of move some pieces around and have some flexibility of that position. I think Baylor still needs to probably add a couple of offensive linemen, another defensive lineman from the transfer portal. So, and last I saw, I think the count is that we have like 4 spots, scholarships available. Right now, I think Baylor's at 81 scholarship players with the attrition and the addition of the transfers that have come in so far. But Aranda said, I watched his like his post spring press conference after the spring, whatever they called it, spring game, quote unquote, that he said we need pass rush, defensive line, offensive line. And that's what they're addressing, right?
I think everybody knew that.
Yeah.
You got me fired up about football, man. I know there was a couple of basketball transfers. Run them through me real quick, but I want to stay on the football train.
Well, on the basketball side, I think we talked about the only one that we've really come in has been like Jeremy Roach from Duke. But I think we discussed that last time.
Did we touch on Roach?
Yeah, I think because that was – so there really hasn't been anything on the men's basketball side. I don't
remember anything happens anymore at this point.
I know, because I'm pretty sure we talked about that when it was happening.
We have both players that had the Raid NIL deal now. So
yeah.
We are officially a Raid school.
You get some of that Raid money for NIL.
Yeah.
Come on.
Raid money.
But yeah, and then
do we have any bugs in our conference? Any like yellow? No, we don't have any like yellow jackets or anything.
Not yet. Maybe if ACC collapses, we have Georgia Tech. But
get some Georgia Tech over here.
Yeah, there was a women's basketball transfer.
Oh, you know who to bring in, Matt, is the Richmond Spiders. What are you typing? I see you typing.
I'm trying to get some information.
You look like we're on a Zoom call and somebody pinged you on Teams and you're distracted by our meeting.
Yeah, I'm trying. Okay, here it is. So women's basketball had a transfer. Arinette Vonleh, I guess is how I'm going to say it. She is the all Pac-12 center from Colorado, transferred into Baylor.
Woo!
So that's a spot that Baylor needed some help, and we got it from Arinette. So
it was like we talked. Like I talked with Dariana Little Page Bugs in the tournament. Like adding a big with the style of offense that they run that allows them to spread the floor is huge. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, she was Colorado's leading scorer, having 476 points, 14 points per game, and a
that's huge
54% field goal percentage.
Woo!
I'll call it 55
pointers. That's 54.9. Open up those 3-pointers, Matthew.
Yeah, so big get for Nikki Collin and the Baylor Bears women's basketball team.
That fires me up, Matt.
So,
do you know what else fires me up?
What's that?
Promo codes to Charlie Hustle.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they fire me up, Matt. Give me one.
So let's we're gonna do this in reverse. The promo code you need to know, Joe, or anyone out there, is 101215. That's TEN1215, because that will get you 15% off non-sale items at Charlie Hustle. And if you're not familiar, Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today and show off your school spirit all season long. And with over 30 schools to choose from, they've got you covered with all their collegiate apparel needs. Shop today at charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. Joe, you got fired up for football. You want to talk more football?
Let's talk more football.
So we have normally what we do in the ramp up to the football season is we kind of go through team by team, previewing. Normally we do kind of just do a schedule preview because quite honestly, we don't know a lot about a lot of these teams, right?
I did some homework.
So, okay. I know a little bit.
A little bit of homework, man.
But that's good. That's more than I did.
I found a fun little connection that I'll tell you about.
Okay. But we normally start later, but there's more teams. We started a little bit earlier last year. We had 14. Now we're going up to like 16 teams. So we got to start now. And we're going to start off with one of the newbies. And that would be Arizona Wildcats. So, Joe, since you're Mr. Research, what did you find out about the Arizona Wildcats?
Amazing season last year, Matt. Right. 10 game winners.
Absolutely.
Big wins last year. One of the best seasons in their history. Even a big bowl game win knocked off Oklahoma in the Alamo Bowl. The only teams they lost to, Matt, this is a great year. The only teams they lost to were at Mississippi State in overtime. They lost, which Mississippi State, not an amazing team last year.
Weren't good. Weren't good last year.
Road game in the SEC West. I'll give you, I'm not going to ding you too hard.
That was early in the season, too. That was like game two.
Yeah, second game of the year. Okay. And
it was overtime.
It was overtime.
Yeah.
You know, 50 years ago, it's a draw. Not even overtime like 50 years ago. So anyway, they only lost two other games the rest of the season, and that was to Washington, which played the national championship game, and USC had the number one overall pick at quarterback, and that game went to 3 overtimes.
Yeah. It was a close.
They lost by on a 2-point conversion in the third overtime. They just didn't convert a 2-point conversion. Essentially, what happened in that game.
Oh, so they also didn't lose by more than like single digits.
Yeah, they lost by 7 to Mississippi State, 7 to Washington, and 2 to USC.
Yeah.
They blew out Arizona State. They blew out Utah. I mean, they beat Utah 42-18. They blew out Washington State 44-6. Tight one against Oregon State, 27-4, handled UCLA 27-10. Not a high scoring, high flying team. Really, really solid defense.
Weak by Colorado.
I'll give you I'll give you a positive and a negative. Which do you want to hear first, Matt? Positive or negative?
Hit me with the positive first.
The positive, Matt, is all that success last year was mostly driven by a stupid young team. They're stupid young, man. Like, their starting quarterback last year was a freshman. All right. Their starting running back was a sophomore. Their leading receiver was a sophomore. Their leading tackler, who also had 6.5 sacks and an interception. And my Chrome is reloading, so I can't pull anybody's name at the moment. But was a freshman last year. All right. So they were stupid young. Jacob Manu, linebacker. All right. 6.5 sacks, 105 tackles, and a pick. Tataroa McMillan. Sorry, I know I'm butchering your name. 1,400 yards receiving last year. Sophomore. All right. Jonah Coleman, leading rusher, 871 yards was a sophomore. And Noah Fafita, leading passer at 2,869 yards, was a true freshman. So, like, they've got a lot of youth, and you would expect a team like that to just get better. But I'll give you the negative now, Matt. Okay. Because the guy that orchestrated that entire season last year, Jed Fish, their head coach, is no longer there. He takes the Washington job after Kalen DeBoer heads to Alabama. So they have replaced Jed Fish with Brent Brennan, who was the coach at San Jose State. So that's where there's kind of two sides to this coin. They are clearly a very talented team that was very young last year, and you would expect to get better. But are they going to be able to perform at that, anywhere near that level, with what I will call a much less proven coach? Because Brent Brennan, I mean, he's got 6 years head coaching experience, all at San Jose State, and he's kind of mid. So, you know, lost pretty hard his first couple of years there, and then had a couple of mediocre years. You go into the COVID season, he was 7-1 on the year, 7-0 in the Mountain West, and won the Mountain West championship game. But that's the COVID year, right? That's, you only played 8 total games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 34-48 overall.
34-48 overall. He is. I also have a little bit of hate for the guy because in his Wikipedia page, it gives him 2 Mountain West regular season championships. It says accomplishments and honors, championships, 2 times Mountain West regular season, 2020 and 2023. I hate that for 2 reasons, Matt. There's no such thing as a regular season championship in NCAA football unless you're like the stupid Big 12 and we didn't have a championship game, right? The conference champion is the one that wins the championship game. So he did that in 2020. He gets credit for that. But here's the thing, Matt. Not only does he claim a regular season championship, one of them is 2023. They didn't even play in the Mountain West championship game in 2023.
They were tied for first.
Yeah, but they lost head-to-head with Boise State. It was a 3-way tie. They lost head-to-head in their division, right, to go to the championship game. It was them, UNLV, and Boise State. They beat UNLV, lost to Boise State, so Boise State got the...
Yeah, I'm looking over it right now.
So, see, I told you I did my homework.
Do you want to know a fun fact, though?
Yes.
He's the first cousin of former Hawaii quarterback Colt Brennan.
Okay, there you go. He did coach at Hawaii for 1 year.
Yeah, he was a GA at Arizona in 2000.
He has spent so much of his life in San Jose, California, because he was the coach. He was the wide receivers coach there for 2 years. He was the tight ends coach for 2 years. He was the co-offensive coordinator, offensive line, tight end, and special teams coach in 2009. Then I guess he got demoted because in 2010, he was back to being their wide receivers coach. And then he spent 5 years at Oregon State as the wide receivers coach, and then came back for 6 years to be the head coach at San Jose State.
Well, yeah, so, and he's also like super tied to, like, his dad played at San Jose State and his mom also went to college there.
He played at UCLA.
He played at UCLA, yeah. I mean, so, but like... Yeah.
He's got ties to San Jose, so...
And he's a West Coast guy.
Oh, yeah, you look at him, and he's very much a West Coast dude.
He's not in a West Coast conference any longer.
You still got to recruit out there.
Well, true, but...
But, no, I am not in love with him as the hire. I don't think they were ever going to be able to swing for the fences on a bigger name anyway, just because, as you mentioned, they do have some financial issues at the school. But here's my fun little quirky fact. In 2023, when they claimed to be regular season champions of a conference they didn't even play in, they started the year last year 1-5, by the way. And one of those losses early in the season was to the Toledo Rockets. Do you know who the starting quarterback for the Toledo Rockets was last year?
Would that be one Daquan Finn?
One Daquan Finn. I won't talk about his stats. They weren't great, but he did beat Brent Brennan last year. 13-23, 92 yards, a touchdown and a pick.
All right.
Did he run for a bunch of yards? I wonder what he did on
the ground. Sure he ran for a bunch of yards.
Yeah, yeah. 12 rushes, 62 yards and a touchdown.
I don't think Toledo had a good offensive line.
No, I watched a lot of Daquan Finn highlights, and there's a lot of him just running for his
life. He is scrambling
like, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, he has some crazy electric plays, and it's just because there's just a revolving door, like five revolving doors standing in front of him. But yeah, that's my little rundown of that's there's your understanding of who Arizona is, a very successful team from last year who's young. And if they would have probably kept their coaching staff, would have been a very hot pick to take a big step forward this year.
And also they were like, whenever the news broke that they were coming to the Big 12, like they're the pick, like, oh, well, Arizona's going to win the Big 12. Like they're the consensus most likely team to win the Big 12. Of all the 16 schools, until they lost Jed Fish and a bunch of players to Washington. And so now it's kind of like a toss-up. And, you know, you've kind of gone through Brennan's CV, basically. So it's like it's kind of a question mark as far as that goes. So it'll be interesting to see. So you want to roll through the schedule?
Do you want to run down the schedule with me for this year?
Yeah, let's do that.
Are you going to keep track of it this year? I kept track of it last year. You're going to keep track of it this year?
I can keep track of it because I can just make a little document.
Yeah, make a little Google Doc for us.
I can make a little document.
Instead of me writing it down.
All right.
There we go.
Google Doc. Here we go.
Cannot wait to be doing this in July and and having to like... God, we're gonna do picks for 3 months, Matt. More than 3 months, like oh, no. 4 months.
We it's have it like down.
Like, four straight months. Our pot, like a third of the year, we're gonna spend making picks.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to start it off?
Sure. We got our very first one of these of 2024. Arizona football, Saturday, August 31st at Arizona Stadium in Tucson, Arizona. We, of course, have no TV times for these yet, by the way. New Mexico comes to town. They face off against the Lobos. There's, of course, no lines whatsoever. It'll be different. But, Matt, what are you thinking? Can they beat New Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're beating them.
They're beating New Mexico. No doubt about it. All right. So we agreed on that one.
Yeah. And maybe we'll go quicker on this.
Yeah. September 7th, Northern Arizona comes in to Tucson to take on the Wildcats. Who you got, Joe?
I'm taking Arizona. They're not going to lose to Northern Arizona.
Yes, me too. All right. What's next?
Let's kick off our first ever game in the Big 12. And of course, they were so nice on September 13th. It's a Friday game. They will be at Kansas State. I'm going to 100% take the Fighting Snyder Cats to win this game.
Me as well.
Exert their Wildcat dominance.
I am going to take the Purple Wildcats.
Yeah, the good Wildcats.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Next up, their first Big 12 game is against former Pac-12 opponent Utah. At Utah.
After a bye, by the way.
After a bye. So I'm going to go with Utah. I'm thinking Utah.
Yeah, they have their quarterback coming back, correct? For like his eighth
yeah,
year.
Cam Rising, is that who that is?
Yeah, Cam Rising. Yeah, I'll take Utah.
All right. So far, we're in total agreement.
Yeah, so far, total agreement. Next up, October 5th, they get their first taste of Big 12 at home. Texas Tech comes to town in a rematch of the former conference mates from back in the Border Conference. Matt, what do you think?
I'm going Arizona.
I'm going to break away from you on this one. I'm going with Joey. I'm going to say Tech wins on the road.
All right. All right. Next up, they travel to Provo, take on BYU. I think I'm going to go with Arizona again.
I'm going to agree with you here. I'm going Arizona.
All right.
I don't see them losing four games in a row. And I think there might be a coaching change in the future for BYU.
Yeah, unfortunately, our guy Kalani Sitake.
Yeah, I love him to death, and I hope he does amazing this year. But I'm picking against him right now. Watch when we get to the BYU one, I won't be able to bring myself to it, and I'm going to be contradictory. Anyway, go on. Who's next? Who's after BYU, Matt?
All right. Next up is homecoming against Colorado. I'm going to go Arizona. A theme you'll notice is this. I'm not high on Colorado.
Oh, yeah. I'm not either. But, yeah, I'm going to go Arizona here.
All right. All right. Here you go, Joe. Give us the next one.
October 26th, West Virginia comes to town. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot it was my turn. West Virginia comes to town. I'm going to take... was last year real or was it a flash in the pan? I'm going to take West Virginia.
I'm going to go Arizona since it's in Arizona.
All right.
Next up is they travel to Orlando, Florida, to take on UCF. I'm gonna go UCF here.
I'm going Arizona here.
All right.
Cool. And then we have a bye week. So their second one, their bye weeks are set up pretty nicely, Matt. They get three games, a bye, six games, a bye, four, and then three games. So they basically have like two mini seasons and a half season in the middle, which is kind of nice. So they got their bye week November 9th. Then they come back home November 15th and welcome the Houston Cougars in. I'm taking Arizona.
I'm taking Arizona. Houston's not going to be good.
They're going to be dookie.
Yeah.
And then this is on the road, so.
Absolutely. Next up, they travel to Fort Worth, take on TCU. I'm going to go Arizona.
I'm going to go Arizona as well. And then we have the last game of the year. Matt, tell the people what the rivalry is called.
We have the 98th Territorial Cup.
The Territorial Cup.
In Tucson against Arizona State.
Arizona State. I am 100% taking Arizona winning this.
Me too. Arizona State wasn't good last year. I don't think they're going to be too much better this year.
Yeah, and this is a one-sided rivalry, I think, at the moment.
Yeah.
In most every sport.
Yeah. So?
So, all right. So, what season did I just give Arizona in their first year in the Big 12?
I'm rolling through it right now. So, right now I'm thinking you got them winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7. You have them like 9-3 again, or 9-3.
No, I don't. I had them losing at Kansas State. I had them losing at Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I had them losing against Tech.
Okay.
And then I had them losing against West Virginia, didn't I?
Okay, so 8-4.
8-4. Yeah. You just can't read. It's fine.
Well, I'm typing it. I've only got to BYU, so I was yeah, I was trying to remember.
And then what did you have them at?
I had them. I think I had them 93.
Gotcha. All right. So yeah, you're a little bit high on them. I think I feel a little bit too high on them. With an 8-4, but
we're both too high on them with a coaching change and loss of players and all that.
Yeah.
And the question marks of like a different offense, different defense.
But their schedule doesn't scare me either.
Schedule is pretty beneficial for them also. You know, they don't have to take on.
There's no Oklahoma State.
There's no Oklahoma State. There's no Kansas. You know, they do have Kansas State, but that's a non-conference game.
Yeah.
So, like, in Big 12 conference, they kind of miss all the heavy hitters. And Baylor. I'm not calling them a heavy hitter, but, you know.
Baylor's the heaviest of hitters.
But, you know, like, if you go by, you know, like, TCU was, what, 4-8 last year?
Yes, they were. No, they were 5-7.
Okay, 5-7. Houston was garbage.
Yeah, they don't get Oklahoma State. They don't get Iowa State.
UCF, I think UCF, 5-7.
Six and seven.
West Virginia's the best.
And Kansas Texas State Tech. Kansas State and West
Kansas
Virginia.
State, both 9-4. Yes.
Yeah.
And in big, but in the actual Big 12 play, like Texas Tech was a bowl team. West Virginia was a bowl team. Those are the only two bowl teams that they, from the Big 12 that they have on their schedule from last year. So, I mean, their schedule
Kansas
kind of,
was 9-4 last year. West Virginia was 9-4 last year. Kansas State was 9-4 last year, but then Oklahoma State was 10-4. Iowa State was 7-6, but 6-3 in conference, which
they
put
miss.
Them...
They miss Iowa State. They miss Kansas. They miss Oklahoma State.
I think it's so, okay. I will actually, looking at this now, I'm going to give them. It's a pretty standard. It's a pretty standard one. They do get three games. The only they're just not getting. Or no, they get everybody. Yeah, they'll get all the Pac-12 teams because they have they do have Utah. So they have Utah, they have Colorado and Arizona State. So they get to play their buddies.
Yeah.
So there's familiarity there. Plus Northern Arizona, man.
I mean, if I was an Arizona fan, I mean, I'd like to schedule. Really.
Yeah, I mean, if you could, in a perfect world, you would trade your Kansas State and West Virginia for like Baylor and Cincinnati. But
well, I mean, still, you got, you go to Manhattan, Kansas at a non-con game. You get Texas Tech at home. You get West Virginia at home. The two other best teams from last year on your schedule, you get them at home.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to travel to Provo, but that's not really much for, it's not like other Big 12 teams traveling to Provo.
Yeah, their road games are...
They're used to playing Colorado, and that's at home. The only other one is, like, they have to go all the way to Orlando, across the country. That's tricky. Yeah. That's why I picked UCF, because of travel, basically. And I think UCF's going to be much better this year.
I think magic happens in Orlando.
It is home of the Magic Kingdom, so...
But that's Arizona. There you go, guys. Now you know more about them. But, Matt, guess what?
What?
We just got done making some picks.
We just talked football.
And made picks.
And made picks.
Let me tell you once again about our friends over at Prize Picks, one of our awesome 10-12 sponsors. The best legal way to play daily fantasy on player props all across the country, right? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All you have to do is select 2 to 5 players and an over-under on a projected stat line, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's fast, it's easy, and entries can be made in as little as 60 seconds. They offer tons of sports. So go check them out. They got NBA, MLB, soccer, plenty of other stuff that's going on right now. If you use promo code BEAR12, that's BEAR12, you can get an instant 100% deposit match of up to $100. That's right, promo code BEAR12, and you can instantly get a full $100 match on your first deposit. Prize Picks is available online and in the App Store or on Google Play, so go check them out. Make some picks of your own.
Yes, sir. We got NBA playoffs going on.
NHL playoffs going on. NHL my abs playoffs going on, man.
Yeah, like the MLB. Your abs. Is that what you said?
Yeah, man. Huh. Always been an abs fan.
Always. Why are you an ass? Explain this to me.
Okay. I explained this to our friend Etta earlier this week.
Okay.
Because she found out I was an Avs fan because I got excited that they moved on against Winnipeg. But no, in 1996, the first year after they moved from Quebec, my dad went on a work trip to Denver and went to a game and brought me back an Avs hockey puck. So I started watching the Avs whenever they'd be on TV that year. I think like that was back when hockey was on NBC all the time and the Avs were really good. They won the Stanley Cup that year. Joe Sakic, Patrick Waugh, Peter Forsberg, that whole crew, mid-90s Avs, right? So they won the Stanley Cup, and I was like, all right, cool. This is my team now. And so I've just, like, watched them off and on ever since. I'm not, like, the biggest diehard hockey fan, but, like, when the Avs are good, I'll watch.
I'm a Dallas Stars. All the way.
I know. You have your one. You have your one trophy.
Do you have one trophy? In every sport. So we got that. And then I got the Mavs are currently up 3-2 in the NBA playoffs against the Clippers. So hopefully close it out on Friday. Kawhi Leonard's not playing. So we got some.
I don't care about the NBA playoffs. I just
of course you don't. You're a Rockets fan.
I'm a fair weather Rockets fan. I just need you guys in the Knights to go seven. I don't care who wins because it's going to be a tough series against either team. So I just want to be as exhausted and beat up as possible.
We were watching it. I was over visiting a friend of the show, Scott Spainsmith, and we were watching the game yesterday, last night.
Last night? Yeah, I watched
when
that
they
game.
Won. Stars won. That was exciting.
First,
like
first home team to win in that series.
So, yeah. So, yeah, hopefully Stars can pull it out.
Go to Vegas. You got to get a win in Vegas.
Yep.
You've already done that twice, though. So. Anyway, just go seven. I don't care who wins. Because you guys, whoever wins that series comes to play us. So, or we go to play them. Unless it's Las Vegas. Because I think we'll have a better record than Las Vegas. But you guys were what? The one seed, right?
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah. So, there you go. Matt, have you been watching anything besides hockey?
No. I've been very poor at watching anything.
I watched a thing.
What'd you watch?
I watched The Bear.
Like the show?
Yeah.
With the first season?
I watched both.
You watched the whole both seasons. Okay.
I've been like literally watching The Bear on my phone while I watch.
I love The Bear.
So like I've been laying on my couch watching The Bear with the hockey playoffs on in the background, basically.
Okay. Yeah, I love The Bear. Also,
I hate
some Taylor Swift in The Bear. So there you go.
There is some Taylor Swift. I walked over to my wife and showed it to that. That is a hilarious scene when Richie is in the car.
Yeah.
Just going eight. By the way, spoilers for The Bear.
Yeah, love story.
You've watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I hate how season two ended. I hate how season two ended. Hate it.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, I can see that.
I just want someone to be happy.
That's not the show you're watching, though. You know, I mean, I got so much anxiety watching that show. I had to most of the times, like, I have to stop it and, like, hyperventilate.
And dude, catch I my love breath it. It makes me want to go work.
I get so tense. It's like,
I spent, like, my entire work experience until I got out of college. So from when I was, like, 15 until I graduated from college, all my work experience was restaurant work. Now, I've, of course, never worked in, like, a high-end restaurant, but, like, what the beef was at the beginning of that show, right? I've worked in that restaurant. And so, like, there have definitely been parts of it where I'm like, man, it made me miss it a little bit. As crappy as it is, it is an exhilarating job to have. And there's no other work that you do than working in the back of a house of a restaurant that makes your day fly by. Like, an 8-hour shift feels like an hour sometimes.
Yeah, I could see that. I never worked in a restaurant. So
I worked
at, that's probably why I have anxiety when I watch the show, because it makes me like super anxious.
My first restaurant job was at a place called Husky's. It was a hamburger place. It was kind of like Fuddruckers, but it was like a one-off.
Yeah.
And I was I started as a busboy, and then I worked my way up to fry cook. And then on like not busy nights or insanely busy nights where we just needed to have somebody, more and more people cooking, I would work the actual grill. And this was when I was like 16. It was a fun job.
Yeah, so like I kind of lied. So I worked in one restaurant when I was 19 years old, and it was like Orion Steakhouse.
Were you a server?
Yes.
All right.
It sucked.
See, I was a waiter too. Like I did front of house.
Yeah, but like it's like a buffet where you're a server at a buffet. It's like,
oh, those places. I know what you're talking. Yeah, it's like a Golden Corral.
It's like Golden Corral. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it was like,
oh, dude, that had to have sucked.
Yeah, because you're not getting good tips, and you're still
you're literally just a fancy
bringing plates
busboy.
And bringing drinks.
You're just a fancy busboy who refills drinks.
Yeah.
And you have to smell Ryan's Steakhouse food. Come home from a place like that, you come home covered in all kinds of grease and sweat. Like, it's disgusting how you come home. I worked at a Cold Stone Creamery, and I came home smelling like waffles every day because we would make the waffle cones there in house. And so like I'd sit there and I'd smell like waffles. I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings. I worked at Black Eyed Pea. When I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings, that was crazy because they stayed open until 2 a.m., right, Matt? And the one in Waco. And when I closed, that meant I didn't get off until like 3 a.m. And so I kind of had this like rapport during the summer with some of the drive-thru workers at Whataburger, the one that was right by campus, like 4th and 5th area.
Yeah.
And I would get tired of eating Buffalo Wild Wings, and so I would just like leave with a ton of wings. Like the way a lot of wing restaurants work is like they just cook wings, go, go, go. And then when you order, they toss them and send them out. And so at the end of the night, there's a lot of times there'll be like cooked food that you can't do anything with. And so they'll just give it, you know, the cooks would just give it to me. So I would like show up at Whataburger, go through the drive thru, and I would trade them Buffalo Wild Wings for Whataburger.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, because like the 3 in the morning.
Late, yeah.
They like I would be getting there just after the bar rush was done. Right. And so like they don't want to, you know, they're just like they're stoked that I'm handing them wings.
Yeah, for sure.
But God, I came home smelling like chicken wings, like boneless wing smell is what I smelled like every day when I got home from there. Black Eyed Pea. I worked there. I spent a few nights as a dishwasher at the Black Eyed Pea because like people would like bail on us and I would just go back there and do it. Oh, so humid.
So speaking of like the Applebee's in Waco closed this week.
Really?
Yeah. Finally closed.
The one on
Valley Mills.
Valley Mills?
Yeah.
God, I have had way too many like $2 margaritas in that place.
So I had a good friend of mine, shout out Clint Cobb, who was a bartender there, and we would go there and he would just give us a drink, so we just like tip him really big. We was like drink free, like when he was working, and we'd sit there and just he'd make us like shots, he'd make us beers, and we would just like give him a big tip and we left. Had a lot of good times at the Applebee's in Waco. A lot of fun nights.
The TGI Fridays there let us I knew some people that worked there, and so we got to drink there before our age hit a certain number. Fun in Waco, man. I was like, I watched The Bear, and then that segued into a complete and utter rant on all the restaurants that I've worked at and where we've drank. The Bear, I had seen it a lot. Everybody I knew was ranting and raving about it, especially our friend Brad Brown, Mr. Zoo Cat himself. Like, he has been He has been in the Bear evangelical, I think, since day one. And so I've been like meaning to watch it. And so finally, like, I was just sitting there one night. I was like, yeah, you know, screw it. I'll watch the Bear. I was like, okay, no, yeah, this is good. I understand why everybody loves it. It's
such good acting. Like that
episode, so genuine too.
Again, man. Like spoilers, but that one, like that episode where it has like John Bernthal playing his brother and all the like Jamie Lee Curtis,
John Mulaney,
and
dude, that episode was an emotional roller coaster.
Bob Odenkirk.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's just such a good episode. Everything is like so tense.
You know, the facts, right? The guy that's like his handyman.
Yeah. I love that guy.
Okay. You know who that is, right?
No.
That's Matty Matheson. He's like an actual chef.
Yeah. When he looks like he's all like tatted up, neck tats. I mean, he looks like someone who would work in a restaurant.
Yeah. He's like an actual chef. There's the episode where they're in Copenhagen with the pastry chef, with the guy that's that plays the one Marvel character. I don't remember his name, but
I know who you're talking about. Plays Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock, yeah, the guy that plays Adam Warlock. He's a pastry chef in Copenhagen. That episode is so good. There are so many things in that show where you'll go from like laughing to like full on anxiety.
Will Poulter is the actor.
Will Poulter, yes, that's his name. But yeah, it's a constant emotional roller coaster, and you're right, it's acted perfectly.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a great show. If you haven't watched The Bear, you're still listening to this, and we've spoiled episodes for you. Go watch The Bear.
Yeah, it's super Chicago too, and I adore the city of Chicago. So
yes, I haven't been watching anything. I have been listening to the Tortured Poets Department though. So I've been listening to some music, but yeah, I still need to finish Fallout. I need to finish several shows, Fallout and Shogun.
I need to finish Shogun, but I'm not, because Clarkson's Farm came out today.
And then
I'm going to be watching Clarkson's Farm when we sign off.
And then You should rent like Dune too. It's on like streaming. Did you already watch Dune?
Did we talk about this? Okay. Here. Yeah.
Okay. Then never mind. You should watch Monkey Man. Great movie.
I've heard a lot of people talk about Monkey Man.
I love that movie. But yeah, I kind of want to go see Fall Guy.
I kind of want to go see Kung Fu Panda.
I don't.
Just because I like them.
Would you take your son?
No, I'm not taking my kid to the movies. He's only three.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
No, he cannot sit.
You can take him to Kung Fu Panda.
No, I'm going to have to. It's going to be, it would be so annoying. He could normally make it 30 minutes to 45 minutes watching something before he's like ready to like play.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't remember the first movie I took my kids to. It was like a kid's movie.
Oh, for sure. Like, I will eventually take him to a kid's movie. Maybe
they may have been like five or six though.
Cause like I've tried to watch movies with him at home, like on the weekends. Like,
yeah. I guess you have to know, like, okay, he can sit and watch a movie. Like, you know, go through, like, watch movies at home.
Yeah. Before he's not quite there yet.
Go to the theater. I can't remember what first movie. It probably was Frozen, to be honest with you. In fact, I'm certain it was Frozen.
The first movie I can remember seeing in theaters, and I'm sure it's not the first I saw. I'm trying to think.
The exact movie, first movie I saw in theaters. That would be one, Return of the Jedi.
Really?
Yes. In 1983.
Okay, the first movie I remember seeing in theaters, yeah, I think it probably was, because I was five, was Mrs. Doubtfire. That's the first movie I can like remember going with my parents, sitting down in the theater and seeing it.
I remember being so excited, because I'd watch Star Wars on TV. You know, the first two, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi came out, and my uncle took me to see it. And my uncle and my mom took me to see it.
Yours is cool and all, but I got to see Robin Williams. So, just saying.
Well, there you go.
I need to go back and watch Mrs. Doubtfire.
I've seen Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, it's not like I didn't watch Mrs. Doubtfire.
That movie's 31 years old now, Matt.
Yeah, I think I was a child when that movie came out.
I'm looking at the pictures.
I'm
of
certain
it.
Like, I was a child. No,
the clothing that they're that they're wearing, like, it could not be baggier. It's insane.
Have you seen the TikToks of like high school in 1996 or high school in 1994?
Yes.
And then you're like, you know, that's when I was in high school. So it was like, it looks completely different to like high school kids now. I mean, just like to me, when I see those old videos, like, those look like high school students. This day and age is like, it's like, what? These don't look like high school kids that are in high school, but whatever. And I have a high school wish. So there you go. There's that. But yeah.
All right.
Well, that's all I got.
I recommend you go watch Mrs. Doubtfire.
I've seen it.
Go watch it
multiple
again.
Times. Now I'm thinking of like scenes from Mrs. Doubtfire and laughing. So, okay, I got to stop.
Just thinking about the cake scene. Like,
Pierce Brosnan is in that movie.
Pierce Brosnan is in
Sally
that movie.
Sally Field's in that movie.
Sally Field. Mara Wilson.
One of the, those brothers. Lawrence brothers. Matthew Lawrence, I think, is in that movie.
Yes. Pierce Brosnan was in that movie, man.
I'm thinking of this scene where they're at the pool and he's like throw something at the back of his head.
Yes.
Okay. This is great podcasting while we reminisce about Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, while we
tell scenes. I feel like
Matt, where can the people find you?
Find me on Twitter at @Matt_Workman. And that's it. I'm on other social media, but don't look for me anywhere else. what about you, Joe?
And you can find me on Twitter at @the_Joe_Goodman. You also come chat with us in the ODB Discord or in the 1012 channel in the Wide Right Natty Light Discord. So come hang out. Come talk to us.
Yeah, come hang out. Come talk to us. We won't pick fights with you or anything like that.
Yeah, never. We are non-combative.
We never do anything like that. We're very compliant. All right, Joe. Until next time. Sick 'em Bears.
Sick 'em Bears.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.